Hello, welcome to the Shut Your Face podcast with your host, me, Bree. I'm super excited you guys are here. Thank you so much for listening to this shit show. This is the second season, and I couldn't be more thankful for all of our guests that took the time to talk to me. It's so freaking cool. Go check us out on Patreon for early access and exclusive content. And then lastly, thank you so much to our sponsors, Bemar Media and Leather and Lights. I kind of happen to know them just a little bit. They're pretty cool. Anyways, let's get on into it, shall we?
Slowly but surely, we got it done.
We got it. Because, yes, you look fabulous, and it would just be... Tell your friend or your husband I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this. You, my friend...
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw you on TikTok. Obviously, I saw you on TikTok with your pink hair and Chappelle Rome. That's what you were playing in your...
Oh, Chappelle Rome.
Chappelle Rome, yes.
Chappelle Rome, that's my girl.
Why do you love her?
You know, I saw her set at Coachella last year. Not in person, but I saw it online and I was hypnotized. I was like, that is it. Like, I loved it. I love the fashion of it. I'm just like very into that like avant-garde, like... someone that stands out, and I love her, you know, her vibe and her songs. And then she obviously had a song called Pink Pony Club, which I'm the Pink Pony girl, so that just made it was my anthem right out the gate. So yeah, absolutely.
I know, I love that. And I love that she made the song, first of all, because I, like I told you on your video, you know, I used to work in strip clubs. I bartended in them, and you know, you have some that are not very good to be around, and then you have some that are, I want to say high class in the same sentence, but it really is, actually. I mean, it really is.
One thing that I really like about that song that has nothing to do with the club is that really the root of the song is saying, like, no matter how old you are still seeking for your parents' approval. Like, you still want that approval of your family. You know, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, things can make you happy, and, you know, you just want your parents to approve of, like, you know, the bigger picture of
it. I've never thought about it. I didn't look at it like that. You just blew my mind with that. I never looked at it like that, because you are right. She does sing. She does say, I'm going to keep dancing, mama. Like, she says that in the song.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so that's like kind of like the big picture of the song is, you know, because she's from like a very small town and I'm from a very small town, and it kind of resonated with me.
I love that.
Because my parents are very conservative, but when I first dyed my hair pink, they were like, what the heck is going on? But now they're like, it's you. Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's great even in the horse industry. Because the horse industry can be... Which, this is really cool we're talking about this, because the horse industry can be very conservative in its mind frame. Like, it can be very judgy, very cut off, very like, we don't want any of that here. Have you kind of encountered that, just like with your hair, or just like in general?
I feel like that is just like such a loaded question, because I have shown like so many disciplines. And I've shown my entire life, and I feel like the times have changed so much, and people have changed so much, and the different associations are so different. But there definitely is that insecurity of like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to be judged for this? You know, should I tone it down? And I have before. And even when I first started, I did ranch horse before I did cutting. And when I bought my ranch horse, he was a buckskin and my hair was pink. And it was a brand new discipline. I had never done ARHA before. I had never done anything with a cow before. And that was 3 years ago, I think, 3 years ago. And I actually bleached my hair to oblivion and I made it mat him. And so I had blonde hair. And then I put black streaks in it to match his coat because I was a little nervous about showing up with pink hair.
Yeah.
And I thought that I would be judged for it. that lasts about 5 weeks. And then I dyed my hair pink again. I was like, you know what? Screw it. This is not me. So I dyed my hair pink and, you know, I was back to my roots. But yeah, there is that insecurity for sure. People can be judgmental, but I've learned to just like let it roll off my back.
Well, we also on the flip side, we're dealing with cowgirls who are already rebellious in a sense altogether. I mean, yes, we're rebellious. You tell us not to do something, we're probably going to do it louder, you know? So,
yes, ma'am.
But that is funny how it's a flip side like that, because I think we've all experienced that little bit of, okay, oh God, they're watching me, you know, oh God, should I do this or not do that? Because, you know, even like, well, I grew up showing pleasure, which I feel like might be a little worse than ranch. It's like,
oh yeah,
you know, no, you would not. No, pink hair and pleasure would be like, oh my God.
Absolutely not. Yes, 100%. My name is Hunter from Hunter Under Saddle. So my mom was showing Hunter Under Saddle when she was pregnant with me. So I've literally been showing from time to embryo. And so my name
She literally
be
has been showing all her life.
Yeah, so my name was going to be Hunter, whether I was a boy or a girl. And it's not from hunting. It's from Hunter Under Saddle. So
how cool is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've kind of done all the different disciplines for sure.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I wanted to ask you about that. I know I saw your TikTok through Cutting Horses, but you have obviously done, you even said you did mules before too. So what are all the disciplines that you've done?
So I started out doing like all around events, and I did Palomino for a long time when I was little. I even like did the little stick horse competitions. I mean, all the things. I actually am a world champion stick horse.
Stop it.
Yes, ma'am. I got the trophy still to prove it. And I did that for a long time. I did some all around AQHA. And then my parents had done everything for years and years and years. My mom was a trainer, and they were kind of over it. So we started trail riding, and we were doing extreme trail riding. So we were climbing mountains in Tennessee. You know, we were traveling all over the place. We went every weekend, and we started riding mules because the horses just weren't cut out for it. And I was probably like 10, 11, and I'm like, you know, I miss showing. I want to show. And my mom was like, well, that's nice. If you want to show, you got to show that mule right there. And so I'm like, okay. And she thought I'd get over it. Well, I started showing this mule, and I started beating horses at the open shows and doing really, really well. And then we found out about NASMA, the North American Saddle Mule Association.
Yep.
And we started showing that, and I had a very iconic 18-hand buckskin. His name was Big Bruce. He still shows today, and I did 18 hands. He was very dainty. He actually was out of a 14-hand just quarter horse. He was just a freak of nature.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and so I had a lot of success with him, and he took me a lot of places. He actually at one point was in contention to be a briar horse. And so I did that for many years, and then my parents were like, we're done again, and I'm like, all right. So I started barrel racing. So then I rodeoed for a little bit. Then I married my husband, and they did ranch horse. So I was like, well, shit, now I gotta get a ranch horse.
Right. Well, so back to mules really quick. Somebody told me that they will humble you. She specifically said, Tabitha, actually, I'll never forget it. She goes, yeah, you think horses, the mules will humble you in a quick minute. But they're smart. They're really smart. A lot of people don't give them enough credit.
Oh, no. You know, they will humble you. I think this sport in general, horses in general, will humble you. But
yeah.
Mules will teach you lessons that a horse won't. And I'm so grateful for that timeline because, you know, I mean, if you do something to a mule, it will remember it forever. And, you know, it really puts you in a place where you acknowledge, you know, all your movements and what you do to your animal because those mules don't forget it.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what she said. So now, barrel racing. Okay, so you did barrels, too. How was that as far as, because, I mean, you know, traditionally ranch, pleasure, any type of, like, arena work, is typically a different atmosphere than rodeo in general, all rodeo. Mm-hmm. How was that as far as a transition for you? Was that easy to kind of just walk into that, or did you have to kind of adapt?
Oh, I was just having a ball. I just thought it was fun. I had had my hair pink at that point. I was just having fun with the crowd. And, you know, I had a fun little barrel horse. He was a Dash to Fame. And I had the opportunity to purchase him for a very little amount. And he was far beyond my means. And he taught me a lot. He was a really cool horse. And he actually ended up getting a brain tumor after I had him for 2 years. I know. That was a really cool experience getting to do that with him.
Yeah, I bet so. Because people give barrel racers enough credit as far as their riding capabilities. Like, it's really hard.
It was totally different. Totally different. Yeah. But I always grew up doing all around events, and a lot of the different little things I would do, like 4-H or what have yous. I always had to do barrels and poles and flags. So I had done that all my life anyways, just not to that level.
So now the pink. I love the pink. But why? Is there a particular reason why you're doing pink? Or you just like it? Or have you done other colors? Or is pink just kind of your signature thing?
So I actually own a hair salon. And so it's just natural for me to like try different styles. Pink is one color that I have done throughout the years. And in 2017, I dyed my hair pink and I have not gone back. other than that, like sick, it was like 4 to 6 week little split there where I dyed my hair blonde and black for that buckskin. Other than that, my hair is, it's just who I am. I mean, this is natural at this point. Like, it's growing out my head. Like, it's just natural.
I love it. It looks good. There's a girl on TikTok that I follow that dyes her hair pink, and she does blue too. Uh-huh. She'll actually show, and she's a hairstylist like you, and she does all this kind of stuff or whatever. But it's so pretty because you think pink, you're like, oh wow, it's really loud. And it's not as loud as you think. It's really, it looks good. It's not like you've got yellow or orange or anything, which, I mean, nothing would be wrong with that, but you know what I'm saying. It flows.
Oh no, absolutely. No, it just is my natural color. It just fits me at this point. So yeah, I'm used to it.
Now I have a question. You are doing cutting horses now. And that's what you're going to go show now. When did you decide to get into cutting horses, and what exactly made you want to do that?
So I have this ranch horse that I bought, and he was kind of a reject reiner. And I knew that he was, and I was like, you know what? He's got the reining under his belt. He's pretty. You know, I bought pretty. You know, we all make that mistake. And I knew nothing about this was 3 years ago, and I had never, other than like going to a friend's house and like pretending to like try to rope something, had never been around cows on a horse ever. And so I wanted to do the ranch, and so I seeked out a trainer that had cows at their facility. And I found Nick Pilcher. He's out of Lexington, Indiana. And I brought my horse to him, and I was like, hey, will you help me with this? I'm doing ranch horse. Will you just like teach me stuff so I can do boxing, you know, nothing too special, what have you. And so I had that horse for almost a year, and Nick just kept telling me and putting me on other horses, like, this is what a horse is supposed to feel like on a cow. And I'm like, I don't want a cutting horse. You're just supposed to be riding my horse. Well, next thing you know, this beautiful blue roan walks in the barn.
There says all she wrote.
I literally was like, I saw that horse and I said, what is that? That needs to be mine. And about 3 weeks later, he's a cat and gilding. And I bought that horse. I hadn't rode it before. And Nick has me get on it after he's mine. And we're sitting out there, he's got cows in the middle, and he's like, go get you a cow. And I'm like, all right. So I put my horse onto a cow. I'm like falling off this thing. And he's like, whoa, 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 what's going on? And he goes, oh my gosh, you've never done this before, have you? And I said, no, I've never done this before.
Duh.
And you would think that one would like try this out before they go face first, but no, it was love at first sight. And, you know, I put the work in and now I am where I am. Yeah.
They say them cow horses are just a completely different thing. I mean, like, my pleasure horse, if you put her around cows, she probably would have flipped script. I mean, like, she would not be able to handle it. But then I actually had a cow horse at one time, and it's, like, almost a natural thing to them. They just, like, you know, they actually grew up around cows. But, you know, it's crazy to see them change like that.
Oh, it is, absolutely. I had never been on a cow horse until 3 years ago. Like, totally.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I spent that 1 year on that ranch horse that I had to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He never really latched on to it. It wasn't natural for him. I had to, like, make it happen and keep my hand up and do all the things, which honestly was great fundamentals for me because I had to learn every fundamental of the cow. Because I had to make it look good because my horse was not helping me at all.
Right.
So then when I got Blue, my Blue Roan horse, when he actually latched on to the cow, I was like, wow, like this is how this is supposed to feel.
This is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. It was really awesome getting to do those baby steps with that horse. Yeah.
Do you think that set you up for cutting? The ranch experience set you up for cutting or no?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. But, I mean, me cutting, I never once in, I mean, obviously, who doesn't know what cutting is and see it and think on TV and be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be cutting. Like, I never intended to be here at all, and I will never leave. I love it so much. It is my absolute favorite sport and, you know, have done so many different disciplines, AQHA, and I've done the Palomino Association. I've done the Mule Association. I've done, you know, the barrels, all those things. The NCHA, I have never felt such a camaraderie and just so much fun at the shows, and everyone is so nice and supportive, and everyone hangs out. Like, it's just the best show experience I've ever been a part of. So I don't intend on ever leaving. it's addicting.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's how it should be. You would hope all of them would be that way. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely. It absolutely should be.
Yeah, it should be. But you have bad apples in every bunch in every industry and anything that you do, you know, it's going to make it bad. So back to kind of you growing up around horses, literally you were born riding one. What did your parents and stuff ever do cutting back then or no?
Oh, no, never. No, they still never. I keep trying to get my mom to jump on one of my horses. And she's just like, one of these days, but she hasn't jumped on one of my cutting horses yet.
So they're not like cow horse related?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow.
No, they trail ride right now. They don't show anymore. My dad used to barrel race back in the day. And, you know, my mom, she's been a trainer for all around events. And, you know, but no, they just trail ride now. They just enjoy the life of leisure and go camping.
You know what? Some of them trail rods are a big deal. Like, you know, it's not like the trail classes that you have at 4-H or breed shows and stuff. It's not Cavaletti poles. Like, it's not.
Yeah. We have a cabin in Big South Fork. And so we go trail riding. I don't know if you know where that is, but that's in the very southern part of Kentucky into Tennessee.
Oh, cool.
And there's mountains and overlooks, and yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, because they actually have, I think I've seen like extreme trail challenges where they have, and they really bring out the work. I mean, they try to make it as close to kind of what that is. You can't ever actually get
I've actually done that.
Have you done what I'm talking about?
Yes. Not to like a national level, but I have entered like some of like the smaller little jackpots of that.
Yeah.
So I've done that for probably 10 years growing up. Yeah.
They're insane.
I'd even make my little barrel horses do it. It was so much fun. Oh, yeah. You'd have to like, you know, trot up on like a teeter totter and come down and then go through all the little things. And you'd have to rope something and drag a tire and
yeah,
it's always fun. I'll do whatever on a horse. As long as I'm on a horse, I don't care.
It's like the trail classes that they would try to do in 4-H or breed shows are nothing compared to actual trail.
Yeah,
it's like 100%. Huge difference. Okay, so what piece of advice do you have for people that are wanting to get into cutting horses or wanting to show competitively in general?
My advice would be at the end of every run, every class, every ride, give yourself one positive, or go into your ride just looking to accomplish one thing. It could be, you know what, today I am just going to consistently long trot my horse for 15 minutes and make sure that I stay on my diagonal. You know, just something simple as that. Always come out with a win.
Have you ever kind of encountered any type of prejudgment with having pink hair and, you know, playing Chapel Roan and things of that nature? Have you ever encountered any type of prejudgment in the sport that has kind of made you, you know, I know that's a little deep of a question, and it's probably something that not a lot of people talk about within the sport. But have you encountered that at all, being kind of different than what most people would see? Not that it's a good or bad thing, but it just in general, have you ever kind of had to encounter that and deal with that?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I at this point, I don't think about it at all. I love standing out. It's just who I am. But they're definitely, for, you know, the last few years, I mean, it's always a thought in the back of my head, like, oh no, like, people are watching me, so I better, you know, I hope that I do well. But I think that everyone feels that way. Everyone feels that way. So I just really encourage everyone to look the way they want to look. And I have gotten so much positive feedback and vibes from my pink hair and liking to stand out. And I am so grateful for that. And I am having a great time with it. So I just encourage everyone to rock what they want to wear and to not care what people say, because confidence is key.
Absolutely. I agree 110%, but you can let it get to you sometimes. You can let, you know,
you can let everything get to you. You just can't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't go there. You can't go there.
Now, the next thing we got to talk about is your pink pad.
Oh, gosh. That's the topic. I tell you what, I'm getting bullied online for that. And let me preface. Let me say this. There actually is pink in my pad. It is just a baby pink. It's a baby pink. I need a hot pink pad. Cutting Up Pads is supposed to be giving me a hot pink pad, to be continued. But at this point, this weekend I will be rocking I'm on my way to Louisiana right now to the Eastern Nationals. And I have packed a black and white pad, and I have a hot pink hat, and I have a black shirt with some fuzzy cuffs tonight.
Oh, that'll look good.
Yeah, so that'll be something fun. So I can't get bullied for my pad not matching. So there's that.
I saw those comments.
Hot pink pad.
I'm like,
oh my gosh.
This girl in her pad.
I'm like, oh my gosh, people. It really does have baby pink in it, I swear. But it's coming. It's coming. They say it's coming. I'm hoping it does. Cutting Up Pads is my favorite, so I'm hoping that they come through. But we'll see.
It is always kind of fun to have to. I remember showing and you wanting to try to, like, match everything and do matchy-matchy. And it's fun when you get do that. It's fun when you get to do that. Like, I can't blame them, because it'd be like, you know, you want to match everything up and make it look cool. So that's fun.
Girl, I think I'm like the 5% of NCHA. That when I tell you last night I was packing and I had my shirts laid out, I brought my pads into my house and I'm like making sure they match. I'm planning my outfits. Like, that's just who I am, and I just can't change. I mean, I've been playing dress up since I was a child, and I don't plan on ever growing up.
Right.
So it brings me joy. I get made fun of a little bit, but it brings me joy, and that's all that matters. I've packed 3 different looks, and I have 1 go round.
It'll be all right.
fingers crossed and praying to God that I make it to the final, so I'll get to show twice. But I do have three different looks for one go round.
So you just made me think about something.
Yeah.
What made you get into hair salon and the beauty industry? Because, you know, there's a lot of people, because riding cutting horses is kind of almost can be compared to barrel racing or rodeoing or just showing in general on the road. A lot of girls, whenever I get on Facebook, I will always see at least once a week where some girl is going, hey, what do you guys do for a living that helps you to be able to accommodate your show schedule and to make that a goal in your life? So did you kind of go into that because you are able to do that?
To be honest with you, I never thought of doing anything else other than hair. And when I went in, I went to beauty school twice, because I did the first round in high school, and then I found out about Aveda. And it was a all-natural beauty school that was just a more in-depth version. And so I wanted to do that when I got out of school. And so I've been licensed since I was 18.
Oh, wow.
And so I just never thought of doing anything else. And to be honest with you, when I decided to be a hairdresser, I really never even thought about making money. I just thought about, I want to make people feel pretty, you know?
Yeah.
And then a few years later, I was like pretty good at it. And I was like, wait a minute, I can make money at this. And then I was 24 when I opened my own salon. And so it's just been an absolute blessing, and I'm able to work. I try to work about 3 days a week, and I move everything around so I can travel. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Because a lot of girls, I mean, it's hard to try to commit to showing on a certain level if you're not able to work around or have something that can help you be able to do that. You know, so.
I'm my own boss, and it's a struggle. I mean, you know, a lot of people in this industry have endless money.
Yeah, cutting horses ain't cheap.
No, and, you know, I don't have that kind of money. You know, I work really, really hard, and it works out me being able to make my own schedule. But even being able to make my own schedule, it's cutthroat. I worked this past Monday so I could be here this weekend. I was at the salon until almost 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And I live an hour away from my salon.
Oh,
gosh.
And
then I worked another 14-hour day the following day. So, I mean, I am putting in, like, a 40-hour work week in 3 days a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard work, but it is totally worth it. And I'm a workaholic, and I don't sleep, and I'm just on to the next one.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I'd rather be working and making something and doing something than to not. I don't understand the mentality of not. Just the general mentality.
I'm a total busybody.
Yeah, yeah. Or just the fact that you have to work to earn something.
Yes. Look. I'm a very goal-driven person, and that's why I think I've competed on horses my entire life. I have never not competed ever in my life. Like, I am so addicted to competition. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that is healthy. I should probably get a therapist. But I love it. Like, I love competing. Like, I love to set goals and try to accomplish them. Like, it just, competing just gives me a lot of fulfillment. You know, even, you know, when you have the bad days, and that's one thing about cutting, it is so humbling. You can have the best horse out there. You can be the best rider. You can have the best trainer, all of that. You can have a dirty cow, you know? And one really good example of that was when I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago. We got to watch the finals of the Open, which was an incredible experience. And it actually, it is the biggest money added weekend class of NCHA of the year. So, I mean, all the best of the best were there competing. And I mean, you saw these amazing horses. They were laying down incredible runs. We're screaming, crying, and they'll lose a cow. And it's just like, you can't help but to just clap for them and be like, dang it, you know. But, you know, like, next, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. It is, like, so humbling. And that's one thing I really love about the sport is, you know, you have that cow variable that a lot of other sports don't have that when it comes to, you know, horses. That cow variable that can change in the split second is just so humbling, and I love it.
You just made me think about something, because you're right. I had a really smart guy tell me once that cutting's more about the cow than it is the horse. And because he would sit there and write down and watch cows. And I'm like, why are you watching the cows if it's the horse? And he was kind of explained it. But you are right, because you have some disciplines that you're working with a time clock. You can't argue a time clock, you know. And then you have some disciplines that we literally hire somebody.
You're paying for a judge's opinion.
Okay. And then you have, like what you just said, the cow. That's another living thing.
You can't deny that.
Yeah, and it's uncontrollable. Nobody can control that, or you can't argue that. You don't know, have no idea what a cow's going to do.
Yeah, you can't pay a cow off.
Right.
You can't do that. You cannot pay that cow off. Sometimes I wish I could, and sometimes I wish I could eat it for dinner. Right. But, you know, yeah, that's just a variable that you just cannot control.
Okay, so what is one of your most memorable cuts? Like, what are one of your most memorable cuts? Not necessarily like what you won or
but how about I just tell you a funny story?
Okay.
So this is a little scandalous, but I'll just tell it. So my very first time in Fort Worth, they had a U.S. cutting NCHA conglomerate, and it was during the summer spec. They had like a weekend gig. It was a week long, and it was my very first time there. I had my gilding blue at the time, and I was so excited to be in Fort Worth, and this is my first time showing there, and I was just over the moon, and I was having way too much fun. And the show was going 24-26 hours a day. There were so many people entered that they just wasn't, you know, prepared for it. So I was in the 2000 class, the beginner class, and so my class should have been about 5 o'clock at night. Well, there were so many people that it wasn't going on until like 9 a.m. the next day. So I had decided I was going to go out. So I called one of my girlfriends up. I made my husband go with me, and we're having a grand old time, and we're hanging out at the Cole Wetzel's Riot Room, having a good time.
He's like got a place o'clock. Out there?
He does. And it actually is National Cole Wetzel Day, I will say.
I didn't know this.
Yes,
okay.
It's called the Riot Room. It's super fun. And it's like 5 minutes from Fort Worth, what's the arena called? The Will Rogers Arena. And so, anyhow, my trainer calls me. I don't answer because I'm having a good time. Well, he calls my husband. And Justin's like, babe, we got to go. And I'm like, what? And they're like, they ran out of fresh cows because, you know, they weren't expecting the numbers. They ran out of fresh cows. So they're getting rid of all the other fresh cattle classes and going straight to your class. So here I am, tipsy, downtown, in a dress. There was a concert going on at Dickie's. So we couldn't get in. We had to run. Change my clothes. We're running in there, going so fast, trying to get there just to make my class. So I walk in, and luckily my trainer had the loafers getting my horse ready. My horse didn't have my tack on there, had somebody else's tack on there, everything. I'm get on my horse and I'm lope trotting my horse around. I am giggling. I have people from the bar that followed me. They're like, there's no way this girl's about to show her horse at Will Rogers Arena. Well, I did. And so they're all watching me, and I'm giggling, just like, there is no way this is happening. So then I go in there, and would you believe I won my class?
You should drink every time.
Oh, my gosh. And my trainer, and so, you know, everybody's screaming because they're all like, you know, the crowd's drunk, you know, the group that came with me, they're like, whoa! They have no idea what they're looking at. And so I'm like, yeah. And so I come out of there, and my trainer's just just like, good job, but never again. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. I would have never dreamed that was going to happen. But that was a very lasting memory, to say the least.
He should have said, do it again.
I mean, that just goes to show sometimes you get in your head too much, you know? I was just having a good time, and that's what it's about. And I forget about that sometimes.
You are, oh my God, we talked about this before. If you get in your head, you will could mess up something so much good. I mean, like, because the horse feels so much. And people, they discredit that. They think that they don't feel it when they really do. And you could just screw it all up if you're not thinking. And then drinking or taking a shot sometimes will just kind of ease you up a little bit and you'll be all right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So you're going now to Louisiana and this is going to be the finals.
So I'm headed to West Monroe and this is the Eastern Nationals. So it's the top 30 of every circuit is invited to compete. And
cool. Congrats.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And so there is a first go round, and I believe there's about 50 in my class. And then
Hold on. Is the dog pink?
Yeah, my dog is pink.
Oh my God. Stop it. And the tail. Is this the tail?
Oh, yeah. Where? Oh, wait, no, there's another one.
Yeah. That's another dog.
There's another dog.
Oh, my God, your dog is pink. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's Monster and Dracula.
I love that. I just want to kiss its face. Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Hey.
They wanted to be a part of it. They got up.
My pets are like kids, so I, you know, like, that's something, I love that. I freaking love that to death. Now, that was your most memorable cut. What's one of the scariest things that you've ever encountered with horses?
Well, I'll tell you a little secret that I have not let out to the internet yet.
And oh gosh.
I'm hoping that this video does not ever surface. So I have a mare now because my Blue got hurt and he was very, very near and dear to my heart. And at the Quarter Horse Congress this past October was my first show on my new mare. And my first time out with her, I fell off her in the pen.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
It was horrible. I had this gorgeous Louis Vuitton saddle. And that whole afternoon, everyone was telling me, how are you going to ride in the saddle? This saddle's too slick. Like, because my mare is a big step up from my gelding. And they're like, I don't think you're going to be able to stay on her in this saddle. And I'm like, well, I rode Blue in this saddle. They're like, I don't know. Like, this horse is a lot more than what you have. And I'm like, well, you know, this is my saddle. This is what I've always shown in, you know, it'd be fine. Well, then finally, I was like, just take it off. Put a different saddle on. You know, if you think it's too slick, you know, put a different saddle on. And they're like, we don't have enough time. Let's just get through this run. And then after this, we're selling the saddle, getting you a new one. I'm like, all right. Would you believe I went out there? And I slipped right off that saddle.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. That was October. And so...
So do we still have the saddle?
Oh, hell no, girl. I never rode that thing again. I never rode that thing one time. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely gorgeous saddle, but it was slick. And it just, yeah. So...
Did you have to have it custom made with that leather on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think LV made saddles.
No, it wasn't. I won't even get into what brand it was because they did a wonderful job. But
yeah.
I did switch to a rough out and it has made a huge difference. And also, you know, like I said, this is a very humbling sport.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've been learning. You know, I went from falling off of her in October. I did well with her in November.
Yeah.
And then the next time I showed her was all the way in Arizona a few weeks ago. And I have absolutely done amazing on her. And I've worked my tail off all winter with Nick Pilcher at Pilcher Performance Horses here in Lexington, Indiana. And I have just put the work in, and I'm very proud of myself to have overcome that, because that was the most humiliated I have ever felt in my life. And going back to the pink hair, you know, it was the story, you know, the girl with the pink hair falls off of the Louis Vuitton saddle, you know, it's you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Absolutely. And it's like, I feel like with the pink hair and being a statement, I have something to prove. And you know what? It just, you know, it brings me more grit. And, you know, I just want to bring it every time I go out there.
You're not riding unless you fall off. Sorry. I mean, like, you're not, I had this conversation with somebody before. If somebody tells you that they've never fallen off, they ain't been riding long enough. And it's true.
Oh, I mean, heck, you know, girl, I've fallen off a bunch of times, but, you know, just not typically, you know, when it's being videoed, photographed in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. But you got...
What doesn't kill you make you stronger. I died a little that day, but you know, I'm on my way to the next show.
Yeah,
you gotta get back on.
That's what I was fixing to say. It ain't like you let that stop you. You know, some people would let that stop them, but you didn't. You said, okay, well, we're just gonna keep going. You know, do what you gotta do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes.
That is what horses is kind of all about, really, because, you know, it's if you go home and cry, you're not gonna get anywhere.
I mean, I did cry. But I did pick myself back up after that.
I would like to see pictures of the saddle, because I actually did a custom pad with LV leather on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was gorgeous. And it had, I didn't want traditional tooling.
Yeah.
And so the entire saddle was a very, very light leather, roses.
Aww.
And then it was inlaid in black.
Oh, cool.
So you could see all the roses. I mean, and it had pink buck stitch.
I want to see a picture of this. That's sad.
I know. You know, I hate that saddle, but it was beautiful.
One of those things like you have, but don't touch it. Just let it sit there and look at it. Don't touch it.
A friend of mine bought it, and she does not cut, and she's like riding it all the time, and she absolutely loves it. If it wasn't for the fact that I had to buy another one right away, I would have kept it just because it needed to just be sitting in like a trophy room or something. It's so gorgeous.
Right.
But no, I had to move on. We had that in the blood.
Now, what are some of your plans, your biggest goals over the next like couple of years or 5 years as far as showing is concerned? Like, what are some of your major goals that you want to hit?
So I have a pipe dream to make the top 15 in the world this year and get to show at the world in December. All of the points are not in yet from the last show, but I should be sitting top 10 right now.
Yay!
And so, yeah. So I'm really excited to, you know, keep on that trail and hopefully, you know, stay in the top 15 to get to show that in December in Fort Worth. But my next venture is I actually have a baby going to hit the ground, and it's going to be a dual ray-ish, and I'm counting dreams. So I'm really excited about that baby, and then getting to show age event.
Oh, so you got a project that you're going to grow up with.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
So my mare is 8 years old, so I'm hoping she lasts me until I have my baby, and hopefully my baby will end up being something and getting to do some of those aged event stuff that I've never gotten to do before.
That'll be fun. Growing up with them's a lot different. Having, you know, riding and showing one that you've seen hit the ground versus one that you kind of bought already grown up.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. Have you done that before? Like, you've had one, you've worked with one from a baby?
I've only had a mule that I did that with, and it was about the time I was getting out of it. I've always just bought, you know, but the two cutting horses that I just got are the first finished horses I've ever bought. I've always grown up in a family where, you know, we make them, you know, and so we put in the work. Well, we're frugal about it. Right. So the last two horses that I've gotten have been finished, and that's been a whole nother experience too.
Oh,
yeah.
You would think it would be the other way around.
Well, it's just different getting to know a horse and, you
True.
Know, all of
yeah.
that, but. Yeah, I'm really excited to have a colt and do all of that as well. So, yeah, she's due in May.
Well, congratulations. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you this. I just want to talk about this. What is something that you wish the industry would improve on, that things that you wish would be kind of something that the industry could improve in general, and then things that you think make the cutting horse people great?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything that I would change. I really enjoyed everything, you know, in the NCHA. You know, I don't really have any complaints when it comes to that. I would say, you know, my biggest positive is the people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of touched on that before,
yeah.
is, you know, I've never been a part of an association that people are so welcoming and friendly, and everyone cheers each other on. You know, you can be, I always make a point, and everyone else always makes a point, even if we're showing against each other, having that cow variable, you know, you're sitting and you're screaming and you're yeeing for your friend out there, you know, you want them to have a good cow, you know. And so it's just a totally different experience. I mean, you know, when I was showing AQHA and things like that, you know, when you're sitting on the rail and you're watching your friend do
True.
A horsemanship
yeah.
pattern, they're doing their horsemanship pattern, and you're like, ooh, that was a good transition. That sucks. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
just not the same. It's not the same. And also, you know, the vocalness of, like, yelling and screaming for your friends, too.
Yeah,
there's
you're right.
not a whole lot of that. I mean, in barrel racing, you do have, you know, the crowd, that kind of thing. But in NCHA, you know, your buddies are yeeing for you and screaming, and it's just like a totally different environment, and I just love it. There's just so much energy.
I think that's why a lot of people are moving towards cow-related events, just ranch in general,
yeah.
cutting, reined cow horse, because the atmosphere is a lot different than what, like, you know, not necessarily 4-H, but pleasure and your fun shows, your open shows and stuff like that. It is. It's two completely different environments.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So, well, that's about all that I had to talk about. I think it's, I'm glad that you stuck with me long enough to get this going.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So tell your friend
absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. I have you on my headphones, so they can't even hear.